B-Pod Studios.
Sixers will get it across midcourt and dribble away the remaining time. They're going to walk out of here with a victory in this third game and lead the series 2-1. Final 131-115.
Yeah! Hey, Jared Dudley. How's Ben Simmons' ass taste?
I got your average right here.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Keep telling him he sucks. Please, Brooklyn, pile on. Tell him he's the worst. Ben Simmons hates puppies. Tell him whatever you want. Fire that man up more.
The missing poster was pretty good.
That was pretty
good.
That
was good. I got to give it to whoever did it.
But the Photoshop's going around after the game were even better.
Oh, I didn't see what.
Found Ben Simmons, 31 points.
That's good.
Contact Jared Dudley, last seen dominating the Brooklyn Nets. What a game last night. What a game. That was, all right, let's start. All right, obviously we all know the final score. They put up another 131 spot.
They're averaging 138 over their last two games, Shane.
That's good basketball.
Yep.
So, obviously the win happens, but let's go in chronological order here. I think we were all pretty stunned last night at around... it probably wasn't, what, 7:35?
It was like that, yeah. I went out to watch the first
7:35, half. 7:35, 7:40?
Yeah, as soon as we sat down at the bar. Yeah, it was like 7:35, and it showed him warming up and then said he will not play tonight.
Well, my cousin who lives up there, and this is, I was like, dude, why aren't you at the game tonight? He said, tickets were actually oddly really, really expensive. I was like, oh, I wouldn't have guessed that. But he was like, oh, yeah, Embiid was late to the game. I don't know what that was about. Maybe he was getting some kind of treatment or something.
I didn't know that he was late to the game. I mean, Pete...
Or late arriving to...
People were reporting that he was in street clothes awfully late, like around the court and stuff like that. I don't know.
I don't know, but
look,
then...
They're holed up in the team hotel. Everything's there. It's not like he... You have two buses that come to the arena.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's
getting treatment or
something. Maybe
he was hiding or getting treatment,
yeah.
Whatever. And he's like, oh, I don't think he's going to play. And I was like, what are you talking about? Like, he's fine. And then I see the tweet like 20 minutes later, Embiid not playing tonight. I was like, what the hell?
Yeah.
Obviously, in hindsight, with the win, it makes it a lot easier to tolerate. But it's going to be really hard to make a long playoff run, I would assume, with this kind of just hanging over them, that day-to-day mindset. It's just brutal.
It's taxing. It really is. It's taxing for the coaches. It's taxing for the other players.
Brett Brown looked like he was exhausted last night.
Yeah, he did. You're talking about that before
the
show.
He had the Kramer low-pressure shower head in the team hotel or something.
Something like that. Yeah, Brett's not one to really care about what he looks like, but I said this to you earlier too. He just seems like he's coaching really hard on the sidelines in a way that I haven't really seen much before. But it's going to be so hard with Joel Embiid. Just that uncertainty. I mean, do you get yourself into a mindset if you're a Sixers player? Well, we got to act like every game he's not going to be here and adjust accordingly. I'm telling everybody out there, please do not ask this question today. Well, would you sit him now that you're up 2-1? Rest isn't doing any good.
No.
Like, it's not. So he has to play. Whenever he feels good, he has to play. It can't be he was good enough to play, but we decided to give him more rest. No. When he says, I'm okay, then you put him in there.
Yeah.
And that has to be the norm all the time. And hopefully he's out there more than not, but
you just don't know.
You don't, but getting past that, I mean,
yeah,
you got efforts last night.
I do want to get past that, but real quick, I don't think I'll ever, like, you know me. I've said I'm never going to not worry about him.
Yeah.
And would it surprise me if it's something more than tendonitis? Not at all, Bob.
No, I think you and I are both in agreement that once the season ends, it's going to be Joel Embiid is going to undergo surgery for something.
Yeah, the old hockey player lower body injury. It's just unfortunate, but for whatever reason, his body, didn't have that. He didn't grow up playing the game. So, like, when he started, it was at a high level in high school, and his body was growing and awkward and weird. And he didn't have that baseline pounding. And he's had a lot of bone problems. And we'll move on from now, but because today's not the day for that. But it's certainly concerning. then the game started. And at first, because I remember you saying the other day, you know, first 3-4 minutes is going to be huge in this game, just to kind of set the tone. And it wasn't the best first, like, 2 minutes.
No, it was like 9-4. The Nets jumped out before Brett called a timeout.
And Brett called a timeout. You know, maybe if he started coaching, he would have not, you know. Never mind.
What?
Don't worry about it. I think I just had a stroke. And then Ben Simmons locked down defensively. Jimmy Butler started to lock down defensively. And I thought those two were stellar defensively all night long.
Yeah, they made that concentrated
Jimmy Butler
effort.
When he wants to play defense is a bull.
Yeah. And it, you know, when the way they're coming around picks now, they're not doing the switch thing. They're even coming over the top, like behind a guy might have the ball off of a pick. The Sixers are even coming behind him in order to flush him towards the basket more.
Yeah.
Now, the one thing...
I've noticed a lot of changes over the last 2 years defensively.
Oh, no question.
Ben Simmons, to the point, was almost full-arm extended running through someone last night.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It was great. He was like, no, I'm not losing my man. Like,
and I'll tell you what, you set a few of those picks, and you take a shot to the shoulder, to the sternum, you know, stomach, wherever it may be, over and over and over again, your picks don't become as solid.
Yeah.
You know,
and there was a lot. The NBA has gotten really sloppy with the moving pick, and the Sixers are guilty of it at times themselves.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of the league. But last night I saw, oh, God, who was it on the Nets? It must have been Jared Allen, was literally like taking 2 or 3 sidestep paces with the guy while picking him.
They look like Trey Thomas out there last night.
Yeah, I was like, I mean, come on. It's a pick. You're supposed to be stationary. At least try to keep it in line here. But yeah, the Sixers and Ben and Jimmy in particular, I think Ben's defense is the most critical thing to the last two games. Obviously, hitting shots is huge. But you saw what D'Angelo Russell could do game one, and that was when Ben guarded him the least amount. And I think he's been absolutely amazing. And that's why I get so offended when Jared Dudley calls him average. I think calling somebody average in the NBA, the baseline is average. Like, yeah. I think saying average is bad. Like, you're saying that they're bad.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I just see, like, the impact Ben Simmons has on the floor. Like Steven Jackson on Fox Sports 1 yesterday, he's going, oh, yeah, Ben said it's true what Jared Dudley said. He stinks in a, he's just not good in a half court set. I'm going, Steven Jackson, there's no chance you've watched more than 10 games of Ben Simmons this year.
Yeah.
No chance.
Yeah.
No chance. Because if you watch and pay attention to him, the impact he has on the court, both sides of the court, in half court, take transition out of it, he's not average. He's very far from average. Does it mean he's great yet? No. He's 22 years old that doesn't have a jump shot.
Right.
Doesn't matter. Look what he did last night.
Yeah, you know, I've been saying, you know, since last year that I understand the jump shot talk. And once he gets that, my God, I can't imagine how unstoppable
it is. He legit doesn't have one.
But for now, if he can convert in the lane... And you saw it last night, Jay. But anyway, if he can convert in the lane and score at the basket as much as he's been doing lately, last night might have been an anomaly with the 31. But, you know, he can get you 18, 24 points without taking jump shots. Like, it's okay. It's okay. And last night you saw the defense again. Brooklyn backed up. And every time they backed up, what did they do? He would just get a running start and boom.
Yeah.
I'm attacking.
His mindset the last two games has been
and
phenomenal.
The Sixers are recognizing it. When they see him back off and they see him get that step, if you look, they spread. So that now he's going one-on-one with that defender that keeps backing up, and he just goes right at their chest and right at the rim.
Yeah,
you can't stop that.
No.
I'll tell you what, if there's a handful of people in the league that can stop Ben Simmons going at the basket with a head of steam from the top of the key while you're standing right near the restricted area, tell me who you are.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he is.
And the other part, and it goes to all of this and driving and getting to the rim at will, he's ambidextrous around the rim. Like last night, he had a couple right-handed shots. He had a couple left-handed shots.
Yep.
Like, that's not average. It's weird. Not many guys do that, and he might be truly right-handed. But it's an asset that he has. He is a mismatch. Like, we always talk about, you know, mismatches our way. He is a mismatch for 95% of the people that are going to be guarding him.
Yeah.
Like, a guy like Kawhi Leonard is like, all right, there, it's nullified.
Right.
You know, there's no mismatch.
Mm-hmm.
But almost everybody else he plays in the Eastern Conference is going to be a mismatch.
Sure. Sure.
You know, and it's just a mindset. And once he harnesses that and what you've seen the last two games, I think is a glimpse of it, he's going to be unstoppable.
Yeah. You know, that's the great thing about this team that, you know, when healthy, when Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid walk on the floor, you have huge mismatches in two positions right off the bat.
Does Joel Embiid being out make Ben Simmons' life easier offensively?
Yeah, I think it does.
So do I.
In a scoring capacity,
yes.
Sure, definitely.
Yeah.
As far as running the floor and everything. As far
and
as
it opens up around the rim.
Yeah.
I mean, Joel's out enough where it's not nonstop, but you know what I mean.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think the team, I mean, let's not get confused.
No, I'm not saying like don't play Joel Embiid with Ben Simmons.
Scoring wise, absolutely.
Yeah, so do I.
It's a much easier for
it stood out in neon last night.
It did, and you know, like I just like the way the Sixers are taking advantage of everything. It's that collapsing defense. Ben drives. You know, you saw it a couple of times where when he did drive and Brooklyn's realizing it's one on one and they come to help, it's boom boom and open passes. When they collapse, they can do a dribble high handoff with J.J. Redick because it's 2-on-1. And Redick had another really good game last night, you know. So I just thought last night was kind of that. That's the team that I envisioned when they got Tobias Harris, Jimmy Butler, all that, and they were missing Joel Embiid.
Yeah.
So they could be awfully scary if Embiid comes back and can really make this run.
Yeah. I was so impressed with Ben Simmons last night. Really think he answered the bell twice now in a big way. You know, game one, there was the boos and all that, and he came out and answered it. And game three, he's on the road in a tough environment in the playoffs. And Brett Brown after the game has a good point. Like, Ben Simmons is hyper criticized because of the jump shot thing. But we have to always keep in mind, especially people like Ben Simmons haters, which they exist for some reason. He's 22 years old.
Yeah.
And Brett Brown after the game talked about reminding us of that. Here's Brett Brown.
We forget he's 22 years old, and, you know, we started talking about the growth and his jump shot and all the stuff everybody talks about. Then you see him come out and make the free throws, and, you know, whether he's getting booed or there's something else going on as it relates to, you know, some level of scrutinizing Ben, he's incredibly confident within himself. He has put in a tremendous amount of work, apart from being just pretty darn good, to earn that privilege. And I'm just so happy for him to play like he played tonight.
Yeah, I mean, he was stellar. He really was. And the other guy that was stellar was Tobias Harris. And you really needed him to step up when Joel Embiid isn't going to play, because you were going to miss some scoring there. And Jimmy Butler, again, another stellar night at point guard, unselfish basketball. You know, he doesn't necessarily need to stuff a stat sheet to be happy. But Tobias Harris, did he end up perfect from three? I know he was six for six.
Yeah,
6 for 6 last I had seen. Pretty incredible game from him. I think he ended up with 16 boards as well.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, both career highs.
Yeah.
Or career playoff highs, I should say. And you know what? Boban off the bench was terrific.
I know. It's
absolutely terrific.
Cause
yeah.
Because we'll get to Greg Monroe in a minute.
Yeah.
But Boban was stellar.
Because Brooklyn was hurting you a little bit on the offensive boards, because
would have benched real quick on the, because your offensive board. Third play of the game, Greg Monroe looked like he had never played basketball before, and Jared Allen got two boards on the second and third possession of the game, right in Greg Monroe's face, where it looked like lack of effort plays. I would have benched the dude right then and there.
I'm sitting there with my buddy Rock, who you know very well, and I played high school ball with Rock, and we watch those two plays. He's sitting across from me, and all I said was, when in doubt, he goes, go after the ball.
Yeah.
That we were always,
it's the one thing you can always do.
Always taught that. When in doubt, don't think that if a ball came between you and me right now, I'm not thinking you're going to get it, even though you're going for it. I'm going to go get it too. Whatever. Always go after the ball. The Sixers, a lot of times, you see three of them standing looking at each other like, you're going to get it? You're going to get it? I mean, it's something that needs to be addressed. They were getting hurt on the offensive boards last night because they were flushing everything inside and you know, giving up runners and floaters and stuff like that because they were running them off the three-point line. So now the offense is in front of you, and that's why, you know, the Nets were getting a lot of defensive boards. That's where I thought when Boban came in, he sort of negated that.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, he's I understand the mismatch stuff is going to happen at some point. Like, you know,
no, but
you
he's go, an asset.
He is. And
he's
it's
efficient
another
offensively.
It's another thing I had to start talking to myself last night saying, wait a second. Stop thinking of the Sixers adjusting to other teams. Somebody's got to adjust to a 7'3 big man who can shoot, rebound.
Offensive board wise, he was just getting finger. He was doing like tip drills to himself.
And he's a really good ball handler, meaning he can pass out of the post. Mm-hmm. He's you know, he sees open things. He's been a real asset to this team.
He absolutely has, because Greg Monroe. And this goes to, I think his signing indicated there was real concern about Joel Embiid.
It's bad.
Greg Monroe is, as we just heard there, it's bad. Like
Greg Monroe's bad?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Did you see him defensively? And on, I mean, he missed like three layups.
Yeah, he did. He's got
bricks for hands.
Oh, his hands are horrible. I mean, the passes. How many times did they pass to him in the post, and he just like fumbled it around but had you 13 rebounds, did some decent thing. I don't know if I'd label him. Yeah, he wasn't very good last night.
All right, you want to go die on Greg Monroe? No, Monroe Hill.
I don't go overboard like you, but the 13 rebounds were good.
Okay.
Take that.
Yeah.
The 4-for-13 shoot, not so much.
Yeah. Don't shoot.
Like, you've had any turnovers.
Yeah. And, you know, look, people were tweeting me last night going, like, I mean, look, I would have benched the guy early on. So that's, I get the frustration last night. But people were tweeting me, like, what the hell is Brett doing even playing this guy? And I was like, well, look, he doesn't really have, his options are this. One is Boban starts and gets a run early and often, but you need him. So it doesn't matter if you start or bring him off the bench.
Right.
He's getting the same amount of run. He's maxing out.
Right.
And then you can put Bolden, small lineup, which is possible versus the Nets. There's not many teams you can run that small against. And then the third option, which you saw a little bit, which Brett acknowledged in the fourth quarter coming out there, he knew Greg Monroe was a liability defensively and costing this team. You run Mike Scott at center or Ben Simmons at center, but it was Mike Scott last night. You know, I thought that was a decent job by Brett late in the game, not going back to Monroe.
Yeah.
And going with Mike Scott.
Yeah, Boban really saved you at that center position, because Mike Scott wasn't very good last night either.
I mean, no, he wasn't.
So Boban coming up big was huge for this team, but the stars shined. I mean, that's the story of last night. Ben Simmons, Tobias Harris, Jimmy Butler, J.J. Redick, your stars,
listen
that
to
you're
this.
Counting on shine.
I got a stat for you here. The Sixers have 3 25-point scorers, Ben Simmons, Harris, Redick, in a playoff game for the first time since Game 3 of the 1978 Conference Semifinals versus the Knicks.
Can you
name those players?
Julius Erving.
Ding.
George McGinnis.
Ding.
Doug Collins? Then Lloyd Free?
Ding!
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, you caught me mid-coffee sip there.
Yeah,
World Be Free.
Didn't mean to mess up your ding.
Yeah, sorry. Ding!
There you go.
Is that better? Julius
then
Erving.
Then Lloyd Free.
George McGinnis, Julius Erving, World Be Free. Last and only other instance for the Sixers in the last 50 years that's happened. That's pretty incredible.
That is. That's amazing.
Because you think about the only other real playoff runs were the AI years, and there wasn't anybody else. There's hardly two guys to score 25, let alone three.
Oh, no.
Because that would have meant I had to share the ball.
Yeah,
that
was not even not a little bit. Yeah.
But pretty incredible stat.
Yeah, that is. That's a good one.
Since 1978.
Like, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. When you have all these teams that are scoring so much, you almost had a 3-for-9. I told you before, my dad and I, when I was young, used to love it if guys would go 3-for-90. Like the Celtics used to have Bird, McHale, and Parrish.
Oh, yeah.
If the three combined for 90, the Denver Nuggets scored an awful lot. You had like Danisel and those guys. And last night, the Sixers almost had it. They had 3-for-86, I believe it was, with those guys.
So. Yeah. Stellar night out of those guys. Tobias Harris was your bell ringer after the game in the locker room. I thought he stepped it up when you needed it big time. It was great to see from the acquisition late. He was in fuego last night.
When he shoots a three,
it's pretty. When he's on, it is textbook pretty.
Yeah, when he shoots a three and his momentum's going a little bit forward, he is deadly.
Yeah. You know, he was falling forward last night.
Yeah, but some guys are like that, and you're taught that, like, ideally you want to go straight up and down, but the teaching is also, if you're doing anything else, be going forward on your shot. And Tobias Harris, when he does that, he can take off from three but land like 2 feet inside mm-hmm. the line. To me, from my eye, it looks like he's a really good shooter when he jumps that way.
Yeah. Let's check in with our buddy T-Will this morning. What's going on, T-Will?
What's up, fellas?
What's happening? Buddy?
Hey, listen, that minus two still got you worried, Jamie?
The what?
That minus two and a half, you got Brooklyn line.
I said they were. It was a Brooklyn line. I said they were gonna cover it, but I wasn't gonna play it.
It got down to one at game time when Embiid
probably
was out.
Probably with Embiid, yeah.
Yeah, that was see, to me, that was screaming blowout.
Yeah, I was an avoid for me last night because I thought it was Sixers, but it looked like a Nets line, so I was just like, eh.
Yeah, but real quick, before I get into it, Greg Monroe, I'm not asking for much from him.
Yeah, just stop.
We didn't get shooting.
Right, and obviously we didn't get much from him, but, you know, for what he did, I mean, it wasn't that bad. I mean, compared to what other teams have right now, it wasn't that bad.
You know,
he had a couple of deflections, a couple of rebounds. Yeah, he missed some layups. I mean, he hasn't played.
He's a 7-footer missing layups.
And then Boban misses layups. He's 7'6". So, I mean, come on.
I didn't realize it. Monroe had 6 offensive rebounds last night.
You see what I'm saying? Like, if you really dig into it. He didn't kill you.
You can put it that way, right?
He
didn't kill you.
When he was in the Nets run on runs.
Yeah, he was a minus
nine. Boban was your run stopper last night.
Okay, well, you know.
He stinks. Why are we defending Greg Monroe?
Oh, stop.
He's 7.
He
got cut 3 times this year. What am I taking, crazy pills here? He was cut 2 weeks ago.
Why are you going
ago.
On Greg Monroe
you
today?
You guys are defending Greg Monroe.
They won by 16 points.
Greg
and he
Monroe!
Played. Oh, my God. I apologize for him, too.
What the hell's wrong with you two?
I can't.
I feel like I'm taking crazy pills. You guys are nuts.
But listen, Tobias Harris, welcome to the playoffs. I mean, we needed that.
That was huge.
That last night. Huge.
16 boards. Huge. He was grabbing boards left and right in such a quiet fashion. It was awesome.
He had like that subtle, quiet, killer game that you didn't realize until like the fourth quarter. You're like, oh my God. This guy's like basically halfway carrying us to this victory.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, he's a quiet killer when he's on.
Yeah, listen, games. Carbon copy, Brett Brown. You know, you saw what you did game 3. You saw what you did game 2. You got to carry this into Saturday night. And I think we can end this real short and get these guys
I agree.
Ready.
All right, T. Will.
Thanks,
we'll talk to you.
Yeah, I kind of was getting that feeling last night that Brooklyn was like, we don't know what to do.
Mark's point yesterday was spot on because, like, that was the game for Brooklyn to come out and go, all right, we've been talking smack. Energy's on our side. Momentum, let's go.
Yeah.
We're going to give it your best run. They have all the energy in the world, and it's not going to be good enough. And then they're going to realize, oh, damn.
Yeah, did you hear how quiet the place got? Like it got up to 17, which is understandable. But then they even cut it to about 11, and I was thinking, ooh, this is... And the fans still weren't into it. Finally, when they got it down to 6, the fans...
They were booing Simmons.
Yeah.
That's when they were... That was cool.
Yeah.
And please keep doing it.
Yeah, why is Ben Simmons letting the ball travel on with like 8 minutes to go?
There's 10 seconds left, and then he tries to dribble drive spin move and got stripped.
Stripped. But not on that one, though.
But he does it a lot.
Yeah, he
where
does.
Where he lets the ball.
And especially when you have a lead, it's the fourth quarter.
Yeah,
pick
like,
it up so the clock starts.
Yeah, I'm like, what are you doing? Yeah. And that actually led to a Brooklyn layup the other way. So you're listening to Fanatic at 5. Come back in a minute. We'll recap the game again. Talk about the Phillies game last night. Catch you up to speed on the rest of the NBA playoffs. I'm Jamie Lynch, in with Greg Monroe's number one fanboy, Bob Cooney. We got Pat Egan producing the show.
You all right?
Welcome back to the Fanatic at 5.
What are you doing, joining the Greg Monroe fan club?
I went to gregmonroefanclub.com.
Did you see my picture on there?
It's a picture of you and T. Will. Not only are we
and
clients,
Egan.
But
Egan came in here and he's like, yeah, I love Greg Monroe.
That's not true!
How long ago did you guys buy the domain name?
How long ago what?
Did you buy the domain name?
Oh.
Greg Monroe Fan Club.
Don't worry about it.
Early when he was at Georgetown?
You're either with us or you're against us. That's right.
Greg Monroe.
I don't want to talk about Greg Monroe.
No. You guys love Greg Monroe. You and T will. But welcome back in Fanatic at 5. I'm here with Greg Monroe's number one fan, Bob Cooney. Jamie Lynch, what a night last night. Ben Simmons, absolutely stellar up in Brooklyn in a night of, you know, social media mocking and missing jump shot. Ben Simmons, you know, what do you call those things? I guess missing person flyer?
Yeah.
Missing person's flyer.
Yeah, that was pretty funny.
That was pretty funny. I'll give him credit for that.
There was even speculation. It might have been on these airwaves last night that maybe the Sixers did it to rile up Ben Simmons even more. That was a D-line take.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she was kidding, but I thought it was funny. No, that didn't happen.
Yeah, no. But the Photoshops going around afterwards were great.
Yeah.
But just a stellar game last night from the team. All around, Tobias, JJ, Ben, I guess those are the three stars of the game.
No question. When those three combine for 86 points, those are your three
Jimmy
stars.
Jimmy Butler's been real quiet the last two games, at least stat-wise, but I think he's been really good. He's been running the point. He stepped it up defensively. I can't wait to see him in a... I hate to look ahead to next round, but this is over.
Stop. Take it game by game. Stop. Stop.
But
stop.
But I am curious if when you play a better team, the Jimmy Butler effect. Because game one, he was awesome. Game two and three, he's been more point guard and defensive minded. And I don't want it to be underappreciated.
No, and I don't think it is. I mean, game one, he individually was awesome, but the team wasn't. And I think he knows that, too.
He was awesome because the team was so unawesome, he stepped it up.
Yeah, you wonder if he steps back and says, okay, you know, I can go off for, you know, 25 to 35, but that's not what's best for this team, maybe. And I said it the other day when he went off for, what was it, 36 on Saturday, that I don't think the team knew how to play with him when he was going off like that. I really didn't. Ben Simmons can go off for 31. The team still knows how to play because his drive into the rim is what you expect. If he kicks it out, fine. But if he scores, okay, you still know how to play with it. I don't think the other guys knew how to play with Jimmy when he was going off for 36. So I think he realized that, took a step back, and said, you know what? I'll be the point guard, and I'll run things from here.
Yeah. Danny in Burlington, we'll get right to you in a second. But to your point, you know, the Jimmy Butler effect, last night you saw him, like John Clark has a picture tweeted out last night of Jimmy Butler with the dry erase board with Ben Simmons diagramming a play and pointing out stuff to Ben. Brett Brown talked about last night after the game how in one of his timeouts it was completely taken over by Tobias, JJ, and Jimmy, and that's the other effect that he has on a team that you don't like. I think he has a great basketball IQ, Jimmy Butler.
Yeah,
because I think he's had to not only work hard. I think he works incredibly hard at his game. If I had to wager, I don't know this, I would say the two guys that watch the most tape on the Sixers are J.J. Redick and Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, and there was... think of what a luxury it is for Brett Brown to have a guy like that.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, when he's been dealing with a bunch of 20-year-olds, as he likes to say.
And a guy that has six playoffs under his belt prior to this.
Exactly. And there was one part last night, and it was early in the game, where Butler was on the bench, and Brett was, like, walking down, and you could see, like, he turned around, because a friend of mine said, oh, look at this, what's going on there? And Brett, like, turned around, Butler was on the bench, and Butler said something to him. Brett nodded and puts his hand out, and they slapped each other. It was kind of a, hey, don't forget, if they're going to run this, we should do that, or whatever it may have been. And it was cool to see that interaction. And that's why, you know, we talk about leaders. Trey talks about leaders and all. That's what you need from a Jimmy Butler, and I think he's supplying it. I really, really like him.
So do I.
Yeah, I really like him.
So
I don't mind that dog-eat-dog mentality that he has. I think it's welcomed here. I think, you know, maybe it rubs off. I think Ben Simmons has it also. It's blossoming even more, and I think Jimmy Butler will help bring it out.
So here's Brett Brown after the game last night on NBC Sports Philly talking about, you know, one of his timeouts got taken over by J.J., Tobias, and Jimmy.
One of our timeouts, where I came back with the notion, and they said, that's fine, but we think this. I said, let's do both back-to-back. And I think that, you know, to listen to J.J. and Tobias and Jimmy, you know, carrying on a conversation on the bench, it was high level, like, you know, pros talking to pros. And I thought that those three, to your point, you know, we've already discussed Ben, I thought that they were exceptional tonight.
There you go.
That's cool. Does Brett get credit for that, or is that, you know?
What do you mean, does he get credit for that? Among the players, or?
No,
or
amongst the haters. Oh.
Look, Brett's had a pretty good playoff series since game
one.
Sure
has.
Yeah.
Game two and game three, I think he's done exceptional.
Yeah.
Does he get credit for that?
I hope so, but, you know.
I ask because it's, I don't think he will from a lot of people.
Well, yeah.
He's made some adjustments, and there's been some clear defensive adjustments. Putting Ben Simmons on D'Angelo Russell more has been good. Getting Tobias Harris involved more has been good. You know, I had guys tweeting me at the end of the third quarter last night, like, you know, Brett's killing this rotation right now. No, James Ennis is killing you. Like,
yeah,
he doesn't have a ton of options here. He's shrunk the bench as much as he can for the most part. TJ McConnell we're not seeing anymore, which I am way okay with.
Yeah, you're shrinking the bench and you're missing your best player.
Yeah, so like I just, you know, like look, people still look for the negative with him. And I'm like,
but he's not an anomaly, and I know we talk about this a lot. That's all coaches in every sport. When they do poorly, when the team does poorly or they stick out coaching-wise doing something bad, people see that. Coaches aren't routinely praised for their team playing well. It's not, wow, what a great win. He coasted balls
off.
No, this
is the first time we talk about him.
Right.
I mean, it's 36 minutes in. We talked about JJ. We talked about Tobias. We talked about Jimmy.
So it's not like Brett
is
any
different than
any. And I'm
not trying
to go overboard. Yeah. No. I'm not saying you either.
I'm just pointing out that he's had two very nice games in a row here.
Yeah, he has. He very good games, I think, and a total schematic change in the process. And that's good to see. But I know we always go off on the Brett Brown hit, but it's no different than anywhere
else. No, it's
not. Yeah, so.
Especially in the NBA. I mean, look at Dwayne Casey last year.
Yeah.
You always say you get hired to get fired.
Yeah, there no doubt about it. And, you know, Brett almost is a victim of his own success in that last year, don't forget, going into the season, people were talking about, if you can get to 500 and maybe get a playoff spot, that'd be great. They won 52 games. So he actually exceeded expectations last year by a far margin, and then automatically people went to that level and said, all right, you got to get to the next. And so, you know, he kind of is a victim of his own success. But he's doing a nice job here. And
we'll see what happens in the next couple games, I'm sure.
I think he's gained the trust of his players a little bit more.
That's
also
the read I've gotten. We'll see what Kenny Atkinson does in game four here, see if there's any adjustment he can make.
Hey, look, did you see that one?
He looked like he was defeated.
He dumbfounded. He looked like he was, I don't know what to do anymore.
Yeah.
And I know
he was sitting back on the bench with his head back, and he was kind of like, what do I do?
I know that feeling. When you're going against somebody and I'm trying everything and nothing is work. Now, I'm not saying nothing worked for the Nets, but it didn't work well enough. And and that is a tough, tough feeling. And when I saw that highlight of him with his face, I said, this isn't good for
him. We got to get to Fartgate.
Oh, there was a Fartgate last night. It didn't involve you for once because you are horrible.
Oh. Really? That's why you want to open this can of worms?
You and Sal Tunis.
Yeah. Danny in Burlington joined the show. What's up, Danny?
Hey, good morning, guys.
How are you, man?
Good. I'm actually glad that you brought that up, Jay, about Ennis. I just want to say I think that was one of the best games I've seen Ben Simmons play.
Absolutely. I think it's one of his best career games, yep.
I was so happy to see him come out with just, you know, both ends, just basically doing everything.
And Danny, you know what was the low-key best part of his game last night? He was 9 for 11 from the line.
Yeah.
They tried to hack a Ben down the stretch when it was getting a little close, and he stepped up. He missed the two in a row at the one point, but he was money.
Yeah, man. I was so happy to see that, especially with, you know, all the boos coming at him. But the thing is with this team, man, like, in no possible way should Ennis, Scott, and that center that was playing, I forget his name, but anyway,
Greg Monroe,
playoff game. Yeah. And
wait, I missed you there, Danny. In no shape or form should they what?
Should those three be on the floor together in a playoff?
Oh, okay. Okay.
I would agree with that.
But the thing is with Ennis, man, me and my buddy were watching last night, and I was like, Matt, watch Ennis and tell me how many times he messes up in like a 5 minute span. We were watching it, man. He had like three bad turnovers. He had a bad foul where the guy got an N1. Like, the guy literally gives you nothing. And I'm sitting there like, why wouldn't you, like, give Zaire Smith a chance when this guy literally, like, I don't know what he does for you. Like, he might come up with an offensive board every now and then or something like that. But for the most part, man, that guy should not be an NBA player.
It's amazing what Brown has to go to on the bench in a playoff series. It's bad.
Anyway, overall, man, it was just awesome.
Yeah, great win last night, Dan. Totally.
We basically just cemented ourselves as winning the series.
I think so, too.
And I can't wait till the next one, man.
Yeah. Next one Saturday. Come on out to Xfinity Live, Dan. Me and Jamie will be there watching at 12 to 3.
Definitely. Dude, you guys are the best, man.
Thanks, right, Danny. Thanks, Dan. Have a good day. Tomorrow, game Saturday.
That's tomorrow.
It is Friday. Yeah. It's Friday.
It's Friday.
The Sixers are up 2-1. It's Friday.
Yeah.
Tomorrow, 12-2-3, Devon Givens, Bob Cooney, and myself live at Xfinity Live. That always sounds weird. Yeah. Live at Xfinity Live. At Xfinity Live. Because it's, at the PBR patio bar, I believe.
Yeah.
And we're supposed to clear up and be a nice afternoon.
Lovely.
73 degrees. They got the huge screen outside. Trey and I watched the first half of the game there last week.
Nice. And we will be watching, I'm sure, the first half.
Yeah, we're
going
to stick around, so come on down and have some fun.
First time working with Devon for me. You get the pleasure of working with him all the time, so I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
You could potentially end the series on Saturday, so it's certainly a big one. If Ben Simmons keeps playing the way he's been playing, that is not unlikely. You're listening to Fanatic at 5. We got Pat Egan producing. We got Bob Cooney, Greg Monroe's number one fan. And I am Jamie Lynch. Time at the Fanatic, 5:41. Welcome back in, Fanatic at 5.
You know, even if Embiid is healthy, I would start Greg Monroe, I think.
That doesn't surprise me from the president of the Greg Monroe fan club. You and T. Will and Pat Egan.
Pete's sakes!
You guys got your little fan club. Hoya. Go Hoyas.
Hoya paranoia.
For Pete's sakes!
So if you're just joining the show, Sixers with a great win last night. Ben Simmons, absolutely dominant. 11 from 13 from the field, 9 of 11 from the free throw line, a plus 11 for the game. I thought he was stellar defensively. He was just a bull that got to the rim as he chose last night. J.J. Redick and Tobias Harris also had great games, and just a great overall night.
Yeah, and they're going to have to figure out something, meaning Brooklyn, to do with Ben Simmons. The backing off doesn't work anymore.
What do you do?
I don't know. I don't know if there's anything you can. Maybe you try to get all up in his grill, but
because he was picking apart. They went a little zone in game two, and he started picking that apart.
Yeah,
they went
zone last night, too, and it was just, you know what, it was great? They went zone last night, and I said out loud, I said, all right, get him on the baseline, and he did. Simmons got right down on the baseline. They got on the ball, and against the zone, it's such a great place to be. He had scoring options, passing options, dribbling options, and then they worked it. I think on the particular play I'm talking about, it was like a bing, 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 wide open three, boom, Tobias Harris.
You know what, I'd love to see of all times to do it? Hit a three-pointer in Brooklyn's face, in Brooklyn.
Yeah, he's not going to try it.
He's not.
Not after he raised his hands after Dudley airballed.
That was awesome.
That was
Zumoff was great.
Yeah.
He was like, that was a...
Would you call that an average shot or whatever?
That was some would say that's a below average half court shot.
Yeah. And then I was like, oh, I see what you did there, partner.
And they did it like two or three times. They were on fire last night.
Yeah, they were.
I think Allah had a...
I thought you usually went national when it's...
Normally I do, but that's regular season.
Oh, okay.
Playoffs, I like my comfort spot.
Okay. You have a lot of rules about watching a game.
Yeah, well, I was slipping back. It was halftime, I did the Phillies.
Yeah, I was watching the Phillies, keeping an eye on them, too.
They lost.
Yeah, Real Muto hit a home run to get them within 3-2, but...
Yeah.
Wasn't their night.
Reese had a big opportunity late, I think in the bottom of the seventh. I was... My timelines are all merged together. This is a tough series.
And they don't play well out in Colorado.
No, they...
Stat that I saw... The stat that I saw before the game.
Yeah.
You want to hit that again?
When they play who?
Tyrone Reyes!
Look at him setting up his own drops, Egan. Go ahead. You want to do it again?
Where were
they playing?
Tyrone Reyes!
But the stat that they had before the game of how.
Tyrone Reyes!
Right, you want to just finish the show doing that for the next 5 minutes?
I kind of do, to be honest.
I'm going to have to take this away from you.
Colorado. So what's the stat you heard against Colorado?
It was, what the, he wants this board back so bad, he's itching.
I do.
It was something like the getting outscored, the number was ludicrous, like 46-7 in Colorado over the last few times they've been there. You know, it's they just don't play
they
there.
They suck out there, and Aaron Nola's out there, and I'm worried about his start. Colorado Rockies.
Yeah.
Real quick in the NBA last night, Sixers take care of the Nets, obviously. The Spurs take a 2-1 lead on the Nuggets. I think we both called that series.
I think we all might have liked.
Yeah, Spurs were
San
like
Antonio.
The most underrated 7 seed ever. Like, yeah, that's deadly.
Derek White went off last night.
If you're Denver and you see San Antonio coming in as a 7 seed, you're going, oh, damn it.
Yeah, I did all this for this.
All this for this first round matchup? Oh, son of a.
Yeah.
And then the Warriors take the 2-1 lead on the Clippers last night. They blow the doors off 132-105. Check in with Mike and Del Ran. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, guys.
What's happening?
Hey, man, if you want to just use up my time to keep hitting that Colorado Rockies, I'm where I live. That's pretty good stuff.
I had to take the board away from him. Mike, he was getting crazy.
So good.
So last night, you know, I'm out in the bar. I'm out in the garage. I got the Phillies game on, the Sixers game on. Beautiful weather outside. Got neighbors fighting down the street. That was a good time. And you know, the game was great. Like, you know, for 2 games in a row now, Ben Simmons is playing like an MVP in the league. I mean, this is what we were talking about.
He was dominant.
He could be dominant. Right. Now, I would expect the Nets in the next game on Saturday to play a little bit more physical with him now and not let it be so easy when he's getting down to the lane, right? I mean, if he's gonna get to the lane and get up for the layup, you know, make him earn it.
Yeah.
So really no complaints about the game. The only thing is, are they going to repeat a string performance like that again? I mean, what was Tobias Harris was like 6 for 6 or – something.
He was 6 or 6 from 3, yeah.
Yeah, J.J. Redick was 6 from the 3-point line. Yeah. Like Simmons' field goal percentage was
absolutely. Well, they should get Embiid back, and, you know, you have 2 pretty good shooters in J.J. and Tobias. It's not unbelievable to think they can duplicate.
Yeah, it's amazing how much easier the game comes for the team when those shots are falling, right?
Oh, yeah.
When the shots aren't falling, it's like they're like a bunch of ants scattering, not really sure what to do, It was a fun game to watch, so I'm excited. I expect them to be honest with you, I think they sweep the rest of the series out. I think they win the next 2.
So do
they
I.
They just really look dominant.
And, so, Mike, I have a really important question for you.
Yes, sir.
Who farted last night?
I don't know. I mean, was it picked up on the audio?
No,
no,
we didn't
TNT.
See the video. If you go to my Twitter page, I retweeted it last night. TNT right. had the feed. Zaire Smith, Amir Johnson, and Joel Embiid at the end of the bench.
I know it was him.
But he looked back.
He looked behind
him. There could have been a farter on the grassy knoll.
No, I don't think so. I think it was Joel.
I do it in front of my kids all the time, and I look behind me, and I'm like, that damn duck again.
Yeah, so Jamie does it all the time, too.
Yeah, right. Same, Mike. Yeah, that was pretty damn hilarious. If you want to see it, if you missed it. I was watching the local feed, but it took off on Twitter, Fartgate 2019. Yeah. I don't know. Joel looked back at a guy in the second row, and he had kind of a guilty face.
Joel did, or this
no,
guy in
the second row.
No, I think it was all Joel looking back, being like, oh, man, who back there is going to get this, too? I think Joel is the guilty party in my book.
Zaire was great. He was full on.
Oh, he's like waving, and then Amir got
the shirt
over. Yeah, and then finally, Embiid kind of did a little, like, oh, I guess I'll put my shirt over my nose, too.
He was the supply.
He dealt it.
Yeah, there's
no doubt in my mind he dealt it.
And he's on a burger of like milkshakes. Yeah. Probably not the best smelling fart in the world. Clearly.
I'm an idiot.
Look at you hitting drop.
I like
Can you
it.
Hit Colorado Rockies for me one more time?
I don't know
time?
Where it is.
Bottom right ish, since you stole my board.
Yeah, keep talking.
Second up. That's Cliff Lee, not Bill Giles.
Right.
You're close. I think one above it.
Colorado!
There you go! Phillies lose to the Colorado Rockies last night. 6-2. Sixers win. It's Friday. All is well in the world. Farzetta and Trey coming up next, but no Trey today. So it's Farzetta and Trey minus Trey with Bob Cooney, Jamie Lynch, and Pat Egan. So we'll see you on the other side in a minute. Thanks for listening to the Fanatic at 5. Hope everybody has a great Friday out there. Time at the Fanatic, 5:55.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.